Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us to be imitators of Christ. That word imitate literally means to mimic or follow closely in someone's footsteps. That concept is a lot easier said than done, especially for believers who are constantly in the public eye. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Family Talk here on this Friday. This radio broadcast is produced by the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in behind the mic for Dr. Dobson today. We have a great interview for you that can only be heard on our airwaves. As many of you know, our co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, holds an annual men's conference called Ignite. This gathering attracts some of the biggest Christian names to address the thousands of men in attendance. And at this year's event, Dr. Clinton talked with NFL quarterback Kirk Cousins and his dad, Don Cousins. Now, Kirk is currently the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. He's also an outspoken believer in Jesus Christ. His father, Don, is the head pastor at Discovery Church in Orlando, Florida. Today, Don explains Kirk's love and passion for football from an early age, while Kirk shares how he overcame various career setbacks and remains a committed Christian in the NFL. It's a fascinating interview, so let's get to it right now here on Family Talk.
Let's go all the way back. Let's build a story here for a little bit. Let's talk. Don, I'm going to come to you. And by the way, Don is a pastor. Pastor's down in Orlando, Florida. And you're going to learn real quick the close bond between the two of these guys. But what was he like as a kid? I mean, little guy.
He's like he is today. He was at 6, 7 years old. He was you like that. loved to carry a ball around. When he was 2 years old, he used to carry a football around the house. My wife and I never gave him a football to carry around the house. For some reason, he was just attracted to football and loved carrying it around. And he's always been passionate, always been intense, always been committed. Always put himself 100% in everything he's put his hand to.
You know, something I found fascinating was when he was little, you guys tell of an incident that probably a lot of people don't know about, but he was like, what?
19 months old.
19 months old and a boiling
I was off at a church retreat. His older brother, Kyle, 2 years older. Kirk was in the kitchen with my wife. She had turned her back from the stove. Kirk was on the floor and he was playing with a soup ladle. My wife had a pot of spaghetti boiling on the stove, and Kirk somehow managed to reach up and hook the edge of the pot and pull it over on himself. Mm. And immediately the boiling water hit his sweatshirt, stuck to him. Of course, he yelled out a scream. My wife heard the commotion, turned around. It was a freak accident. She immediately ripped off his sweatshirt, at which point, basically from his navel to his neck, a layer of skin came off.
Wow.
In the coming days, obviously, he spent about 10 days in the hospital with second and third degree burns. His third degree burns were in his upper arm and chest area in both arms. And the striking thing that stuck with us was that when we met with a plastic surgeon about 2 weeks later, and he looked at all of Kirk's burns, he said to us specifically, "We don't think we'll have to do any skin grafting. He's only 19 months old. We think if we put a compression jacket on him that he'll wear for a year or two, that he'll be okay." And then he made this statement, "I don't know that he'll ever throw a ball properly, but apart from that, he should be okay."
No kidding. Well, Kirk, you I know you. Your story is you accepted the Lord at 7, went to a Christian school. Tell us a little bit about growing up.
Yeah, when your dad's a pastor, you get the opportunity to give your life to the Lord at a pretty young age. So I was probably 7 or 8 years old when the gospel was explained to me, and I made that decision as much as you can as a 7 or 8 year old. And then when I was in middle school, I enrolled in a Christian school and ended up going to Christian schooling all the way through high school. And it was probably midway through high school that I had a high school Bible teacher who really challenged me and my fellow classmates about what it meant to not just, you know, pray the prayer, but to actually become a disciple of Jesus, which is to be a fully devoted follower, which was based in the Bible in 1 John 2:6, which says, "Those who claim to be in him must walk as he walked." The Bible teacher challenged us to say, how does your walk really look? And does it really resemble the rabbi Jesus and his walk? And are you the real deal or are you just an imposter? And so in high school, that's when it became real for me. And I said, okay, I'm going to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, whatever that may cost me or whatever that may change in my life. I'm all in at this point.
Eric, a lot of people think that you go to a Christian school, you put yourself at a deficit, not going to get looks, etc. You hear what I'm saying? You went to a Christian school, Holland, Michigan, right? And it was a journey, by the way. I mean, you were hoping, praying to go on and play college ball, but tell us a little bit about it. I mean, I know your junior year, by the way. I mean, you got aspirations. You bust up your ankle or something, right?
Right. Yeah, I was at a small school. We had just started a football program a couple of years earlier. Varsity football for me, the very first time I had a chance to play it was junior year. And the first quarter of the first game of my first varsity season, I get hit on my left side and I break my ankle. And I remember coming home with a cast on my leg the following day, calling my dad, giving him the update that I had broken my ankle, and there were tears in my eyes, and I said, Dad, this means that I'll never be able to play college football at a high level because I already was an under-recruited player. No one knew about me. I knew I was going to have a big junior year to be recruited, and I'm not going to be able to play my junior year. And my dad said, Kirk, you don't know that. You need to trust in the Lord and his plan for your life. And he referenced Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and said, what that says is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. And so he challenged me that day to make that verse, you know, deep in my heart, have it become a reality for me. And so at that moment, I decided, okay, whether it's my football career or the path of my entire life, I'm going to trust you, Lord, to lead. And, you know, as we sit here today, I found a way to play college football, and I didn't find a way, I should say. The Lord found a way for me to play college football, and he was so much bigger than a broken ankle.
He didn't get any offers from big schools the senior year, you all. Catch this.
So there were a couple schools that were following me through my senior year, so I knew there was interest, but no one had made the step to actually offer a scholarship, and Western Michigan was the first to offer, then Toledo offered around Christmas break. And I went into Christmas break of my senior year. Signing day is early February, so we're getting close to the very end. And Michigan State had just had a coaching change, and the previous staff had been interested, but the minute they were all fired at Michigan State, the new staff I had to start all over with. So they came in around Thanksgiving and started that process, and sure enough, that was Coach Mark D'Antonio, who's still there to this day. And I came on a recruiting visit to Michigan State. Typically, you go on a visit, they've already offered you, they are trying to recruit you. Instead, I was invited on a visit with no scholarship, and I had to recruit them and try to put my best foot forward to say, why don't you offer me a scholarship? Well, they did a few days later at the last minute. I committed, signed the scholarship, and the rest is history. But again, I looked back at the whole journey and realized this was a God thing. A year and a half ago, I said, this can't happen. It won't happen. And I think God at that moment when I signed that scholarship said, Kirk, I'm so much bigger than a broken ankle. And looking back now, I realized that he's so much bigger than so many things. You know, to what we see as a mountain, God sees as just nothing.
I was talking to Kirk's daddy, and we were talking about the adversity quotient, you know, that Kirk's had to battle all the way. As he transitioned into Michigan State, I wrote down these words. You said he was seldom the fastest, not necessarily the biggest, and he said not necessarily the strongest. But something inside this kid that always gives him an opportunity for success. I wanted you just for a moment, because I think a lot of dads and young athletes need to hear this just for a moment, because this is not a normal story. This isn't the typical story, but look where we are as of this week. It's just an amazing ride, and to God be the glory.
On the Friday night of the NFL draft, when Kirk was going to be hopefully drafted that year, 2012, there were 8 quarterbacks that were slated, if you will, to be expected to be drafted, were somewhere in the top 3 rounds. And Andrew Luck was expected to be first, and Robert Griffin expected to be second, and then from there it was kind of anybody's guess. Sat down on Friday night and read the story from 1 Samuel 16 of David's selection as the king, and perhaps you know the story where God sends his prophet Samuel and said, go to a man named Jesse and bring his sons in. From among his sons I've chosen the next king. And he brought 7 of his sons in. And the first one stood before him, and Samuel, it says, looked at him and said, surely this must be him. I mean, look at this guy. Wow. And God whispered to Samuel, not the one. And he said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I said, the first lesson that we look here is that the NFL and in the draft and all that, it looks at all the tangibles. How tall are you? How fast do you run? How big? How strong? And all that. God looks at the intangibles. God's looking at the heart. And I said, beyond that, while we hope you're going to be drafted here tonight, the fact of the matter is God is the one who will draft you. God will place you where he wants you. He has control over your life, not the NFL. And as it turned out that night, the next three quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Brock Osweiler, Nick Foles, were all drafted. And contrary to what Kirk's agent had told him, you'll probably be drafted in the second or third round, he wasn't drafted. And he was very discouraged, if you will, that night going to bed because he had anticipated being drafted and wasn't. And the next morning, the Redskins, Mike Shanahan called, and then they selected him, which for us was a downer because they had just picked Robert Griffin with the second overall pick, and Kirk knew that he really wouldn't even have a chance to compete for the starting role because of Robert being picked as early as he was. You know, if you know the story of David's selection, he wasn't first brought in to the meeting with Samuel. Seven brothers went through, and none of them were selected. And then he turned to Samuel and said, is there one more son? And he said, there is. And bring him in. And they brought him in. It was the eighth son. And after that morning with the draft, Kirk was up in his bedroom. He was a little discouraged about the situation. And I walked up to him and I said, remember, bud, we prayed and we trust the Lord, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We have to believe that the Lord has his hand in this. And while the circumstances don't look to be what we want them to be, we got to trust that God's in it. And now we are, 6 years later? And God has shown himself great.
That's pretty amazing. That's
awesome. I love that, man. So, Kirk, draft night, did you think you were going to go? I mean, leading up to the whole thing, I mean, do you really think you were going to go?
I tell people that I thought the Reds, if I just sit down and say, rank the teams that you're most likely to go to and go all the way through the NFL, there's 32 teams in the NFL, I probably would have put something, you know, the Bills first, the Eagles second, Broncos third, whoever I had been on a visit with and talked to, I would have put the Redskins 32nd of 32 teams because of the nature of what they were going to do with drafting Robert and the style of quarterback that he was and that I was. And I just said, there's no way they picked me. And so when I went there, I thought, you know, that's just like God to do something totally out of left field and to use that to bring him glory later and also then for our good. It truly is remarkable, and I'm so excited to see what he still has in store, because if my story has told me anything, it's told me that God's up to something. We just have to keep trusting him and taking the next step by faith, and then we tend to look back and go, wow, look at how big God is.
You are listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, in a conversation that Dr. Tim Clinton had with Kirk and Don Cousins. Go to the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Kirk and his NFL journey. Okay, now let's listen into the rest of Dr. Tim Clinton's interview with Kirk and Don Cousins right here on Family Talk.
We were back there talking together and talking about what's it like to be in the NFL. And again, the adversity piece. You come in, RG3's sitting out there, and coaches put him in the run, and yeah, it's expected, but at the same time, you're there, you want to play. How do you fight your way through that stuff? How do you keep your sanity? How do you keep your mental play here? I mean, because you're just sitting back waiting, you're in the wings, you've got a battle. And I think if you look at the story unfolding in Washington, it's this journey that you're on every year, just battling. What's your approach?
Yeah, I had to have the long view in mind because it doesn't happen overnight. And it wasn't a deal where I showed up and things started to fall together quickly. It still took years. Even when I got a chance to play in my third year, I was playing for a significant number of games. I played so poorly that I got benched. So even when you think, okay, now's my time, it wasn't. I got benched. And so you start to realize that, okay, God's timeline and his plan involves a lot of this. It's not a straight line. And he's using that to get you to where he wants you to go. And God is seldom early, but he's always on time. And yet so much of my journey, I've always felt like he was late. And yet I look back and I realize that his timing just wasn't my timing. And he was on time every step of the way. But to me, it felt like he was late, but he never was. As God would have it, an opportunity circled back to me at the start of the 2015 season. And I was able to start that season as a result of a lot of work coming back from that, being benched and going through the offseason practices and continuing to build. And all those invisible days that no one sees, you're building, building, building. And that paid off in that 2015 season and became, really, to this date, my favorite season in the NFL, and one that I'll always remember because of the way we came out of adversity and then rose to a success in winning the division and getting to the playoffs.
Hey, being in the NFL, the game speeds up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at your demeanor. I'm thinking to myself, okay, great conversation. You know, I've watched some of your stuff. Then I saw some video that was, you like that? You like that? And it's like, dude's got another gear in him somewhere. I mean, something's happening here. Is there another piece of you? Yeah. Is there something that shows up?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that God's wired me to have that in me. But, you know, when I got to D.C., that media is not very kind. And so it caused me a little bit to go in my shell, that I was scared to death. I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth. I'm going to hurt the team. I'm going to say something that they're going to run with and just start to make it into a story when it's not a story. So you start to kind of protect yourself and just not give them anything. Just be as vanilla as possible when that's really not who you are. But abuse brings control. So if they're going to abuse your access to the media, then you're just going to start to control it by just backing off. So I never really showed my true colors. But when that you like that moment happened, and I talked to my dad after the game a day or two later, he said, that's Kirk. Like, that's the Kirk that I know. But everyone's reacting like they have no idea who that is because you've never let them see it. Yeah. And so he said, I think you need to be yourself, because clearly when you do that, people respond. And so it was a good reminder to me that even when people may criticize or point the finger, you just got to be true to who you are, who you feel God's called you to be, and answer to him, because, you know, that you like that moment to this day still follows me, and it's kind of what I'm known for. So it would have been a shame if I had stayed in my shell and not been myself in that moment.
Yeah. Hey, as a part of your journey, 12,000 passing yards, got the Redskins into the playoffs while you were there. I know you're in a transition. Any favorite moments or two, by the way? Hey, anybody that you looked across the line and said,
Just about every week, I'm looking across the line at somebody going, oh, Kirk, you better chuck and duck. I mean, these guys are coming. The combination of size and speed is just ridiculous.
They talk, is there a lot of smack going on?
There's some chirping, you know. I know there's some loud guys that you throw a pass and they'll bat it down and, yeah, Kirk, that's why you'll never win a Super Bowl, as they jog off the field and the punter's walking on and I'm walking off like, oh, man. So there's some banter back and forth, but then obviously you hit the touchdown pass and you look at that same guy and you say what? You say, you like that. And you get guys who will you know, tackle you, sack you, and they'll go, you like that? As they walk off the field. So it'll always follow me, good or bad. But no, we won the division in 2015. That was a thrill. Dream come true for me to have that experience. And I'll never forget, after the moment where I said you like that, we put it on T-shirts, we sold those T-shirts, and we were able to raise over $40,000 for International Justice Mission, an organization that's bringing justice to the poor and the oppressed worldwide, and it's founded by a Christian man. It's a powerful organization that's doing a powerful work. And so the chance to bridge, like, pro football with ministry in that way was special. And again, a moment where I said, only God. Like, only God could orchestrate this marriage here where this is all working together to make a difference for the world. I thought that was a really cool experience.
You have maintained an incredible testimony. I mean, people know about your relationship with Christ in the NFL. They know that. And people often talk, it's a tough place to walk tall. How's it been for you personally?
Well, as all of us who go through life, even as an NFL quarterback, I think it's very easy, because I remember being a fan of NFL players growing up, and you think that life is just a mountaintop experience after mountaintop experience, and it's just always good. I mean, there were nights, like the year I was benched, I didn't sleep at night. I mean, I was just miserable. You can ask my wife. I mean, I was just beside myself that I had failed at my career, at my profession. I was a complete failure in my mind. You know, and even in a good year, if you go 10-6 in the NFL, that's six games where you're getting killed in the media, you're going back replaying mistakes you made, and you're beating yourself up, and this league will test you, and it is a roller coaster. So it's not probably the glamorous life that you would think. It is a grind, it is a challenge, it tests me every single day, and You know, I think the Lord has me here as an NFL quarterback because he knows it was a profession that would keep me close to him, because I do feel so in need of him as I do the job. I do not feel adequate. In fact, I feel very inadequate on a daily basis, and as a result, it drives me closer to him, which I think in the long run is probably a healthy thing.
I know as a part of this journey, in Washington, you find out Dad's got cancer. By the way, he's a rock for you, and that obviously had an impact on you guys on top of all this. Right. Mind just saying a word, and how's Dad doing?
Yeah, I remember going to training camp in 2015. My dad had just gotten the initial cancer diagnosis, and as he was going off to start to get his treatments, I was going off to start training camp in Richmond. And I remember calling my family, and just between the getting benched the year before, how much was up in the air for me in my career. I was coming into the final year of my rookie contract. My dad has cancer. I remember calling family members at the start of the season. I said, you know what? I'm just discouraged. I'm frustrated. And I just think that I'm going to probably just finish this year, maybe try to make a couple more years as a backup quarterback, and I'm going to retire. I was kind of limping to the finish line, if you will. You know, again, as we know that story where, you know, the things turned for me on the field, and, you know, I got a chance to play and we won. But through all that, my dad was going through these cancer treatments. And so as I was named the starter and playing and in this neat experience, my dad was unable to come to games. He was, you know, hundreds of miles away getting these treatments, and I was getting updates every week, and we had a lot of people praying. But about middle of the season, he had finished the treatments. He had been cleared. It was told he was in remission, and so he got to come to his very first game of that year, and we played against the Saints at home. And it just so happened that I ended up having a perfect passer rating that day, and we had a bit of a blowout win, and I was able to take a knee on the field at the end of the game and give the ball to my dad in the stands after the game. And just another, again, another special moment where I felt like God was looking down and winking at us, saying, I got you. I'm here. My hand is on your life. My hand is on your life. And I'm a blessing, God, and I want to bless your life. And it was a powerful day, one that we'll remember for a long time.
Awesome. You bet. Super.
Hey, I know we're fighting time here just for a moment. A couple more questions. Zach would say, Dad, make sure and ask Kirk about what it takes to separate yourself as an athlete. We got a lot of aspiring football players in here, FCA gangs in here and more, teams from all over this area. Kirk, address those young guys. Talk to them about what your thoughts are.
You know, it's really the same theme that I would say in different ways. Coach Shanahan used to always say, tough times don't last, tough people do. If you want to be successful in anything you do, but obviously in athletics, you're going to have to be tough, mentally tough, physically tough, emotionally tough, spiritually tough. So be ready for that. Another phrase we use a lot in the NFL is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Okay, if you want to have athletic success, you have to be willing to do things that are uncomfortable. If that's set the alarm at 5 a.m. to get up to do something extra, if that's you know, leading your teammates and stepping out of your shell to be a leader, whatever it may be, to be a great athlete, you've got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Another phrase that I love to say is work will win when wishing won't. And too many times, I think, you know, teammates of mine, when I look back at high school, you know, they wanted to be great. They wanted to be a great athlete, but it really came down to it. They were wishing, not working. And so I would challenge any of you who want to be great. And it's not just sports. It's really anything you do in life. Stop wishing and start working. And you know, another phrase that comes to mind is work as if it all depends on you, but pray as if it all depends on God. And never forget that ultimately, you know, the Lord determines our steps. Proverbs says that, you know, man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so trust him, lean on him, and find what your God-given wiring is. God wired me in a lot of ways to be a quarterback when it comes to throwing a football the right way, to processing information, having good field vision. He gave me certain giftings that I never really worked at. They were just there that enabled me to be an effective quarterback. Find what it is, because God's given every single one of us a unique wiring and gifting and passion. Use your time as a middle schooler, high schooler, even in college to continue to unravel and unpack what is it that God has wired me to do? What are my passions? What does he put in my heart? What's the fire that he's given me that I can do and that I enjoy working at? And find what that is and go after it with all of your heart, as Colossians 3:23 says.
What an encouraging testimony of an NFL superstar who has remained committed to his faith in God. Again, you can visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Kirk Cousins' story. There you'll see a link to his website and also his book, Game Changer. Find all that and more at drjamesdobson.org. Click on the broadcast icon at the top of the page. And be sure to give us a call and let us know what your thoughts are about today's interview with Kirk and Don Cousins. The number to dial is 877-732-6825. Finally, if you've been listening every day this week here on Family Talk, we've been dealing with a lot of heavy subjects just about every day this week. Tough topics that may be plaguing you or your family, as a matter of fact. We want to provide you with tools to solve the crises going on in your home right now. And the most effective way we can do so is through the Dobson Digital Library. Now, this catalog contains all of Dr. Dobson's work, including his articles, radio interviews, and blogs. Now, the library addresses major issues dealing with parenting, marriage, faith, and culture. So the next time you are looking for help in any of those areas, be sure to visit the Dobson Digital Library. DobsonLibrary.com is the website. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again Monday for the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.